Retro scena. Posebna rubrika oddaje Odrišča. Iz sveta umetnosti z ljudmi, ki jo ustvarjajo.
Enajsti festival radikalnih teles Spider je sklenil najti pot iz utesnjujočih kletk harmonijskih lestvic. Kot eno izmed možnih rešitev so ponudili koncept fantastične matematike. Gre za študij vzorcev in nizov sestavljenih iz ločenih delov. Torej, namesto, da bi harmonični izračun gledali v celoti, ga raje razdrobimo in gledamo parcialno. S tem pa se doseže zbadanje konvencionalnih paradigem v nevralgične točke. Na festivalu sta med drugim gostovala tudi gledališka in filmska igralka ter performarka Ana Franciska Jäger ter Nathan Oms, plesalec, koreograf in performer. Na Spiderju sta predstavila svoj tretji projekt, v njem pa prikazala enega izmed mogočih produktov naše obsedenosti z digitalizacijo in učinkovitostjo, ki jo preveva patina poenostavljanja in standardizacije. Poimenovala sta ga Bartlebabe. Z njima smo posneli krajši pogovor, ki ga objavljamo v celoti.
Retro scena.
Bartlebabe is the title of a performance that we made 2 years ago, or we premiered it?
I think already 3 years ago. Yeah. That we started making it.
That we started making it and we premiered it last year, last summer. So because of COVID, it got a lot of cancellations. It's a solo performed by Ana Franciska, as you saw. In which, yeah, she becomes a Bartlebabe. Bartlebabe, the name is, it's based on the figure, the character of the book Bartleby the Scrivener by Herman Melville. But it's a kind of contemporary version of that. The book was for us a starting point, an inspiration. We didn't literally like translate that to the stage. But we rather, thought about what is this attitude of this character that says to everything that is asked from him, I would prefer not to. Like, how can we? What does that mean today? And how can we put that on stage?
Okay. Would you say people are more and more enclosed with the idea of standardization, or are we simply more and more lazy? Maybe is first very much connected with the second. Maybe is this radical digital revolution more powerful than people?
Then they realize also how enclosing it is. It's a good question. I think it is dangerous to say that people have no consciousness of how certain digital technologies work and how they are designed and with what purposes also, how they are related to a certain market and such. But it's a tricky thing because it is also very powerfully designed. It's a very, very powerful drug. They call it users, not, only drugs and digital media have the people who go on them, it's called users. So it's tricky, but I think, standardization, it's something that you can recognize on when you go online quite easily and a certain phenomena, but it's also in other parts of life. I think it is strongly linked to a certain kind of neoliberal ideology that has to focus on efficiency and is quite ruthless in that.
Yeah. And it's a bit hard to say, is the standardization first or the need for it? It's a bit the chicken or the egg kind of question, but they enhance each other like with the internet itself. Yeah. Was there first the internet or was there first the need for an internet?
Like for and it's maybe also not so important to say is that an authentic desire we have or something? Like how authentic is that? Because I think it's difficult to say, but it is more interesting to look at what are the structures behind it that do push those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Because we always had standards, we always have codes of conduct and formulas or rules.
Social scenarios.
There's always been there, but I think there's a certain kind of specific standardization when you go online, when you're on the internet. Yeah, that is sometimes even more, is sometimes also very chaotic or very niche or very...
But also disembodied, it goes through a machine or something,
There's the biggest question is, do people are afraid of AI and what that might do? So machines becoming humans, but I think what is even more present is maybe the other way around, how humans have to start acting like machines. That is also how visible in how our labor is organized, or yeah, or how we have to react on our dates. You know, it has to go quick and no friction. That's a bit oriented. That's a bit what Bartabé says. I give you less friction and more flow.
Yeah.
Living in the era of neoliberalist glorification of individualization is somehow making us more and more into, I think, a semiotic sign of human race rather than actual human race.
Yeah.
And how do you think we landed in the time we are in, and why does it seem like we do not manage to escape from it?
Oh, you really go straight for the for the philosophical and the questions. How did we get it? Oh, I think... Yeah, I think politically and historically, I think it's something process that you can trace back to different starting points. Maybe the nearest being the 90s, where this financial capitalism goes very, very fast and opens all new kinds of markets, and such as through social media, the harvesting of our souls, of our emotions, of our intimacies. But yeah, how did we end up in this mess? I don't know. Ali, like, I don't. My knowledge is not spanning enough. Although we do try to, when we work or something, to try to get a certain kind of sense of overview. Not overview, because that's more on the visual side, but like a sense, like a gefühl. I have a sense of what is a human condition today, even if that is a universalizing term for it. I think it is looking a bit like, where does it touch everything, these kind of processes, not a specific topic or something. And this, the book was therefore very handy, because it is, we could transfer these questions into the figure of a literary figure, Bartleby, and then in our version, Bartleby. So that's a good frame to look at the world, and I think we need those, because otherwise it's just very overwhelming and chaotic. Internet is all like, ugh. And then you don't know, you're completely immobile and apathetic, or apathy and cynical. I mean, I think, we always say we don't have to talk about too much about it, but I think there's a lot in this world which is driven by a certain cynicism or nihilism, and I think we look for ways to... I know we cannot look away from it, because it has affected us a lot, we encounter the world, and it's also, you can ask why. As young generation, I have the feeling my parents, for instance, the boomers are much more optimistic about a future in certain regards, or like, it will... But also maybe because they have to, because they will die soon. But, so the artwork, not as a function, not an instrument for it, but to question this cynicism and to think of ways to go beyond it, right?
And to rescale also those questions into a space, a theater space where you sit together with an audience as a collective effort also, and but we do often also run into this question of like, okay, we look at the mess, we engage with it, we embody it, we translate it, we scale it, whatever. And then often when we work on pieces, because we made other pieces together also, there also the question arises, and do we also need to now here in this theater context think of a way like to get out together, like an alternative? Yeah. Do we have to propose, I don't know, imagine, speculate about... And I think that is still our ambition.
Yes, but we do say we take time for these things. We don't have to find answers immediately. I think we have to be able to grow and to think, become wiser and learn more through making theater. But
And definitely not give in to this moral pressure.
Exactly.
Of like an artwork has to
console.
Also do this or also that. No, it is.
Which
it
is
does,
very
it does
strong.
What it does, basically.
No, but which is a very strong. Thing to you could go for or something, because you want to make a certain like harmony or balance at the end of your piece. Like, it's always there, like you want to end on a good note or something. I don't know. But it is true what you said about how is this digital world represented through physicality, through a live body on stage in the presence of a live audience. I think this analog reality versus a virtual reality is also a bit where our idea of friction, where things cannot be smoothed out or cannot just be standardized, because there is a body that is too demanding and is too alive, not in the, yes, not in the moral sense of the words, but just, yeah, living and having its ways and needs and a mind that tries to navigate it. Yeah.
In the catalog is written that in your show, a mass of online content collides with the analog reality of the theater.
Yes.
What is the result of this collision?
Yeah, in the catalog we write the result is monstrous. or like become, but I think with monstrous we would mean that it's like not sure, not really identifiable where on the gliding scale, how do you say that? Yeah. Between like human and algorithmic or digital, this character, this figure that appears is like this creature.
And this is a bit that you cannot define it exactly where it lies, is a bit this uncanny feeling. This is what scares us, that we cannot say, I know it's a machine, I know it's a human being.
The ambiguity is like...
That's the monstrosity of it. And yeah, and that it also is pulling our attention. It's fascinating also. We want to be close to it in a way. Like monsters or horror, you also want to be close to it. It has something appealing.
Yeah, yeah. You want to admire it also.
Yeah, exactly. This horror show. But I still was going to say something. Ah, it does also, when the analog and this digital, I think, maybe do on a more moral level, there is a certain kind of pain, you could name it, that is comes to the surface after swallowing all this content. A pain that is... In the materials or something in here, constant pushing and selling, and is not immediately revealed, but through a certain kind of exhaustion, there is something that's
just scarred, like a pain also,
damaged subjects who try to hold things together. But Bartabape as an abstract character, she doesn't care about being damaged or not, but she is a bit of a reflection or a filter of these kind of processes, I would say. That people get damaged by certain things, and that it's not absolute, but that we have to look at them.
Okay. And into what did Bartabape mutate at the end? Into some kind?
The last scene, you mean, or
Brave New World?
How do you give a certain kind of input without forcing an interpretation on it, because we have our own sources of it, or like you could have an obvious reference to Schmiegel from Lord of the Rings, but that is only as like a kind of formal reference, so in the sense that doesn't matter, it's more an abstraction of a certain kind of CGI reality between something that never ends, wants to die, cannot end, is stuck, is this state of stuckness. And has a kind of philosophical reflection about where we are, and there Bartabape says there is no time, no more death, so a lack of a kind of past, present, future, like a eternal now. Everything keeps repeating, and there is no.
But the irony is, of course, that she comes up and she says that she's artificially resurrected, that she's computer generated, but it's still of course an actress in a costume on that stage, and that's very sensible still also in the space, but it's a bit too it's a time, like a question in the end, it's very much about how we experience time also, like how what we project also on an afterlife or something, in a way, and the impossibility of it, but a very strong desire for it, those kind of contradictions.
What does stay also in this afterlife? If you think like what is permanent and what is not fleeting, and just every time in the complete is instant of everything. But then she screams, I'm in this inferno, I would infer not, prefer not to, but...
Which then actually also becomes kind of... burnout.
Exactly.
But you could see it like very literally, like a car burns out or something, like that's the machine that burns out, but it's also like how do you call it, a social burnout, I don't know, professional burnout,
societal
the one that we know so
in a sense it functions between a metaphor and a literal, like it's literal or something, and I think that is also it's also supposed to be funny. It's always funny. The general thing, I think we looked also for very comical gestures to make, because it was fun to do, but also I think there is something very freeing in humor. Humans using humor to deal with a certain reality or a certain
finding
pain.
Finding a kind of agency back also.
Yes, exactly. I think that is something essential.
In this media, in this standard forms or templates that we find ourselves in expressing ourselves through.
Odrišča. Pika si.